We can talk all we want about improving public schools, and we can do all within our power to improve programs and test scores, but it won't matter much if we can't get the kids to show up for class. And that's a big issue for Oregon schools. A recent study called Absences Add Up takes a look at school attendance trends in all 50 states. Oregon is a leader, and not in a good way. It is among the top states in students missing class time. California's at the other end of the scale. Students who miss class time are just not there to learn and appear to fall farther behind their classmates over time. The Absences Add Up study comes from the group Attendance Works, for which Hetty Chang is the director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hetty, thanks for joining us on the Exchange today.
My pleasure.
It seems like your core value and your name are synonymous. Attendance works.
Absolutely, and it does indeed work. If you want kids to benefit from the teaching and learning that we're investing in the classroom, you got to make sure they're there. And when they're there, they learn more.
I noticed
not rocket science.
No, it really isn't. And you know, as again, you make the report itself plain in name. Absences add up, and over time, it does seem to be a cumulative effect.
Absolutely. Our report found that this was true for every grade, every racial ethnic group, every state, every city examined. If kids were gone more, in this case, it was a self-report because one of the things, by the way, one thing that Oregon is doing, has started to do, is to monitor chronic absence on an ongoing basis. You do have the data. You know, you've had two reports come out in Oregon, both one that we did that Chalkboard and the Children's Institute and Eco Northwest put out, and then also recently you actually had a Betsy Hammett as a reporter look at this. So you as a state have been looking at this issue and monitoring it. But nationally, we really don't have a common way of looking at chronic absence, which we define as missing 10% or more of school. And so Absences Add Up was using the NAEP data and surveys about how many days kids miss before they took the NAEP to be able to do that national comparison. But it does indeed show that Oregon struggles quite a bit with this issue of attendance.
Betsy Hammett, is she the Oregonian reporter who did a series of stories on this?
Yep.
Okay.
Betsy Hammond did a really amazing series looking at lots of different attributes of this issue. And, you know, the thing that you should know about your state is you both have significant statewide challenges and you also have what we call bright spots. You have schools that have high levels of low-income kids because usually chronic absence is, it affects all kids, but it tends to be more prevalent among low-income kids because they face greater barriers to attendance. But you have examples of schools that are turning that around.
Well, let's talk about the barriers to attendance then. I mean, what are some of the typical ones that that you find?
Well, we think about looking at three kinds of, buckets of barriers. One is myths. And the myths are that people don't realize that absences add up. It's not just consecutive. It's sporadic absences, that chronic absence, that going to school regularly starting early matters. We almost think about attendance as an issue of compliance, so we don't actually count all the absences. So we think, oh, if I gave permission for my kid, for example, to stay home from school because he had a late night out, that's okay because that's with my permission. But when you think about each day of attendance as equaling an opportunity to learn, then that's a problem. So myths are that people don't recognize this issue. And that's fairly prevalent, especially in the early grades. Then there are real barriers, and the barriers can be like lack of access to health care, asthma, other kind of chronic diseases. Dental disease can be a real challenge, but it also can be barriers like poor transportation, lack of safe path to school, and so that's the second bucket of reasons. And then the third bucket of reasons that we see are actually issues of aversion. Sometimes it can be actually poor school climate and bullying going on in the school. Sometimes it's a lack of engaging curriculum. Sometimes it actually can be a community that has had a history of a poor relation. So actually one thing we do know about Oregon schools, as well as other places, is Native American chronic absence is extremely high. But there's also a really awful history in this country of schools, boarding schools, having been used to really rip the culture and language out of kids who were Native American and keep them, create a distance between them and their community. And the legacy of that negative experience, I think, actually affects some of what's going on among Native student populations. But what you do know is that once you know what those barriers are, you can actually improve that. so you can engage the community and build trust and make sure that they see that they're part of the community. If you know that engagement is a problem, if it's a problem with instruction or in poor school climate, you can adopt, you know, Oregon's rich in a history of positive behavior and intervention supports. It might mean that you need to do that. Or if there's real barriers like health care and access to health care, that's another strategy you can employ. So knowing which those reasons are, it's helpful to have those buckets, but it's really important for schools, communities, family members, community providers to work together to understand what are the issues, and then you can come up with effective solutions.
Hedy Chang is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director of the group Attendance Works, which just put out the recent study, Absences Add Up, taking a look at school attendance trends in all 50 states. Oregon is one of the stinkers, frankly, in the top five for students missing class a lot. Join us on the Exchange with your thoughts, comments, perceptions, 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. What exactly is getting measured here, Hedy? It's not all students all time, right?
Well, so here's the thing, and it's what's being measured by whom when.
Right.
Most teachers take attendance every day. So maybe there's not always accuracy, or sometimes, particularly in middle and high school, with period attendance, it doesn't always get in the systems, but usually attendance is taken. And most school districts have attendance data in an electronic way associated with an ID for an individual kid, which is really important. Because what you want to do for chronic absence is to add up for any, is a kid missing any school, too much school for any reason, that they're academically at risk. What's historically happened in schools, and I think in part this is because we, until about 8 or 9 years ago, probably, schools were using a lot of paper and pencil. You know, our electronic data systems, which may be the norm in healthcare and in businesses, is still relatively new to schools. And so it used to be that people maybe tracked average daily attendance, how many kids showed up each day, which is important. It kind of tells you which days of the week are better attendance, but it doesn't tell you which kids are missing too much school. The other thing that people have historically tracked out of compulsory ed is which kids are truant, which is how many are kids missing too much school for unexcused reasons without permission. But truancy really masks an issue of chronic absence. So kids, when they're five, you know, aren't sitting there thinking, oh, I think I'll skip school today. Rather, kids who are five-year-old can miss school, and sometimes for very legitimate reasons. They have asthma, there's challenges around transportation, mom gets sick, but those absences can still add up to too much time lost in the classroom, and unless we're tracking which kids are missing too much school for any reason, we can't take that trigger to say, oh, let's call, let's figure out what's going on with that family, and then let's come up with a solution.
In this particular study, you're looking at just fourth and eighth graders, is that right?
Yeah, so the NAEP is the National Assessment of Educational Progress. It's the assessment that we can use to compare results across states, because every state has their own assessment. And they do it in fourth, and they do it in eighth grade, and they, as part of the assessment, ask kids to report how much school they missed prior to taking the NAEP test that month.
Are there any particular surprises in the order of states, top and bottom?
You know, I don't know that it's totally surprising. I think certainly I see, when I look at it, eyeballing at trends, large urban districts with high levels of poverty have higher levels of chronic absence. That's not terribly surprising. I also would say, and this is a little bit of an eyeball, but you know, you mentioned in the opening of this radio show that California is much lower at levels of chronic absence on this. And one of the things that I look at, and I think bears for, it would be good to check whether, we didn't do this research, so someone could do it and check for statistical significance, but it looks like the states to me that have average daily attendance as a funding approach. So in about 7 states in the country, California is one of them, Texas, Kentucky, Illinois, there are a few of them, we get paid based on whether or not kids show up to school, and we're actually not paid. Now, sometimes people worry about average daily attendance because they think that the schools with the worst attendance will have the least resources and they need the most. But if you really do a weighted formula on that, you can actually incentivize it. But it means that in schools in California, because they're not paid, kids don't show up, they actually really pay attention more to attendance, and I think it gets reflected in the data a bit. So that was the other thing I just noticed when I eyeballed through the who's at the top and the bottom. The ones that have the better attendance tend to be incentivized, or they have a really strong history in their state of monitoring sort of absences for any reason. They have some better state policy. So I look at it and I think this is what an example of where state policy makes a difference.
So the school's daily state payment is different depending upon the attendance level. In Oregon, it's not like that. It's just based on enrollment?
Most places in the country base it on what's called average daily membership. So they take a count once or twice a year and see how many kids show up for those that day. Maybe there's a count in October and a count in the spring, or maybe just in October. And that's how they base their funding. Whereas in California, schools are actually taking attendance every day, and then their districts are reporting to the state how many kids showed up each day, and then that's the basis for how much money they get from the state. Now, in California, and I know you guys also serve California, there's also additional accountability metrics now in place. We have something called the Local Control Funding Formula, which is trying to make sure that school districts with higher levels of kids in need get more funding, but an accountability metric in their local plans is actually making sure that school districts address and reduce chronic absence. That's just starting, so many districts haven't actually started really using that metric seriously, or taking it seriously in their plans, but I think the combination of that with average daily attendance is going to really help to spur improvement in California.
We're talking about absenteeism in schools, where it's a particular problem in Oregon. Oregon among the top 5 in this recent study called Absences Add Up, which came from the group Attendance Works, where Hedy Chang is the director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Join us with your thoughts about absenteeism in school. Did it make a difference in your school experience or your kids? Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Just some of the particulars of this study. We're talking about missing 3 days or more a month. 3 days does not sound like a lot, but as the study itself says, absences add up.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you think about a subject which, it's scaffolded, it adds up. Let's think about algebra. Boy, if you miss a couple days of algebra in the first month of school and you don't get certain kind of basic principles, it's pretty hard later on. And one of the things that we also talk about in this study, and this is, you know, we have an organization in partnership with the America's Promise Alliance, a campaign for grade level reading, Points of Light, and United Way Worldwide. We've launched Attendance Awareness Month for September, and the reason we've done that in part is because we know that there's data that shows the attendance habits kids build in the beginning of the year predict all year long. And so in Baltimore, they found that kids who attended, who were absent more than 4 days, were chronically absent throughout the rest of the year, 90% of them. On average, they missed 70 days of school. Kids who just missed 2 days of school in the first month of school, 50% of them were chronically absent. You know, you start off missing a couple days in the first month of school, and then you keep missing a couple days. Boy, by the end of the year, you've missed a month of school.
All right, that was the question then. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a lot with 3 days, but 3 days this month can also mean 3 days next month, 3 days the month after, and so forth, and that is a lot of school.
Absolutely.
So is there a particular reason that was discovered? I mean, I don't know how deeply the data drilled in. It was self-reported, but, I mean, the primary reason for people missing school in Oregon, do we have that information?
No, you don't. And I actually think you're going to have to use your own data, both at the state and the local level, to unpack that. So, again, certainly it could be Oregon, like many other places, affected by this. And that's why you want to get the message out that absences can add up, because that's a good thing to do. But if, to what extent you have these different barriers related to health care, related to transportation, or really some challenges of aversion in schools, that actually is something I think you're going to have to work out at the local district and school level. And folks can use their data to crunch and to analyze what's going on so that you can see whether there are patterns and where is it concentrated. So if you find in a school, I've found things like in one school, a couple different examples. A school looked at its chronic absence levels, and they were disproportionately high in certain classrooms. And in one classroom, the principal told me, oh, we've got mold in the classroom. I'm like, well, then, you know, here, another time, it was a classroom where it was like a second grade classroom, and there was a challenge with the parent liaison said, you know, that's the classroom where there's a really challenging bullying issue, and all the other kids are calling in sick. And then the third time, it was a classroom where actually there was a challenge of the teacher just wasn't very engaging, and the parents were walking with their feet. I've also seen that in middle school, where there's really a challenge of classroom instruction. And so you have to take your data to unpack what's going on. So there may be big issues around health. There is something that I will say in the early grades that is an opportunity and a challenge for you in Oregon, which is you have not had as much investment in the really early years and the early in kindergarten in Oregon. It's still a lot of places it's half day. It's not yet full day. I know you're trying to move to full day K. You don't have a whole lot of early care and education, high quality programs. And it turns out that we know from other places that getting kids into high quality preschool is a really important strategy, both for giving them a base, but also helping kids develop the habit of attendance as they're going into kindergarten. As you go into kindergarten, sometimes half day programs can really present logistical challenges for families. So the move to full day can be a real opportunity to move that. But I do suspect that because this is a statewide policy issue, the lack of advancement in early care and education may in part be an explanation for the high rates that you're seeing in Oregon.
One of the things I remember from reading Betsy Hammond's pieces in the Oregonian about absenteeism, and there were, I think, six altogether, was in rural areas, for example, where the schools would be missing a number of students during hunting season, for example, because it was just something families in that area did, which suggests perhaps that maybe one of the strategies the school could employ is figure out which are the times people most likely to go hunting and don't be open those days and be open some other time.
Yeah, I think this is a dialogue, and certainly that can be. I've seen the parallel in other places. There was one school district in the San Diego County area where they actually had a lot of immigrant families and immigrant from Mexico, and they were actually going back home for an extended period for the holidays. So they made Christmas break 3 weeks long and said, okay, we'll make it a little longer. Everyone leaves, but you come back on time. But it only, I would say that if you're going to do that, it still has to be an explicit dialogue and discussion with the families. We're doing this, that there's a hunting, you know, whatever, break for all of you, but you take it during those days and you come back when we're in session. There is some data that suggests this was actually around snow days in back east. But if it's easier for a teacher, because so the problem is when kids are chronically absent, it's not just the kids who are chronically absent whose learning experience is affected. If you have high levels of churn going on in the classroom because of poor attendance, and kids are sort of like popcorn, one kid's gone this day, another kid's gone this day, it's really hard for the teacher because how are they going to teach? Whose need do they meet? If you have a planned day where everyone's gone, like a snow day and everyone's out, then the teacher can plan, I will now make up instruction for everyone. And I think that's correlate. But if you have kids sort of here and there taking days off, that's just really hard to address. So I do think that there can be some really clarity about when you want to do that. But it has to be really community-wide. Otherwise, if you're not sure it's a day that's off, or day, you know, you then still get the churn because families are so confused about which days are holidays and which aren't.
And is the situation getting any better across the country? I mean, attendance works obviously exists because this is an issue, but is it improving over time, or are we still pretty much in the same boat we were in, say, 10, 15 years ago?
We've never collected the data to know. I suspect, though, given the higher levels of gaps in income and poverty, that it may be getting worse because of poverty-related challenges. But literally, we do not track attendance, even in longitudinal student databases, in every single state. So California, there's local data, but at the state level in California, they don't even have the data. Oregon does. That's a strength in Oregon's database. So we can't even, for every state, the state can't say, they know whether kids pass their tests, they know whether their kids are, what their grades are, but they don't know necessarily whether kids are showing up enough to school to benefit from instruction. We have not been calculating and monitoring this, so we don't know if it's getting worse or better.
All right, so track one, obviously, or step one is to make sure you track the data, and step two is to figure out what the solutions are, and they may differ district to district.
Absolutely.
All right, attendance works has been around for how long now?
Since 2010.
Okay,
so not very long.
All right, but there because there's a perceived need, and there certainly seems to be. Oregon among the top five for worst attendance in schools. California among the best. Hedy Chang is the director of Attendance Works. Hedy, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Good to have you.